Well, hello, everybody. It's Wednesday, and my name is Dave Wilson. If you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on an adventure together called Dave Wilson's Part of Radio Liberty. It's my distinct privilege and pleasure, frankly, to be able to sit in here for Dr. Stan this week as he's traveling. Please keep him in your prayers for provision, for protection. He's going up and down the East Coast or wherever in the world that he is. He's asked me to sit in here for him, and I'm having a great time. I'm excited about the guests that we're having this week. I'm excited about the guest particularly that we're having this afternoon. But before we get to Mr. Alan Karuba, I've got to warn you not only about him, but about me. The views expressed on this live radio program are my views and not necessarily those of the station that you're listening to, the person who put the computer together that you're listening on, or anything else. My views, the views of my guests, hey, they can be your views as you elect to give us a call later on in the program or whenever you want to at 464-8295 here in the Central California Coast. Anywhere that you can hear the sound of this program via shortwave or the internet, however it is that you're getting it, if it's live, call us and we'll drop the 50 to 75 to 80 cents, whatever it is, at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237, but why don't you hold the calls until you find out what we're talking about? And I never know what we're going to talk about when I talk to Alan Karuba. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Well, I can just barely hear you.
Okay.
Who's ever working in the studio there? Tell them to work those knobs.
So okay, is that a little better?
Hear what you're saying.
Is that better now? Here I go.
There we are.
Okay, I had to jiggle that thing yesterday, too. I think we got to get a new jiggle thing on there.
Or a hammer. That's my general technological expertise.
That's
right
called
there.
A ball peen adjustment in aviation phraseology.
Yes.
Anyway, welcome. You're the director of the National Anxiety Center, and you've been a guest on this program probably three or four times or more now over the years, and all the things that we talk about, generally we have a sort of an agenda, but the main thing, I suppose, bottom line, is to convince the American people that they need to grab a hold of their government once again and wade themselves through all of this stuff that the media is giving us about the beneficence of the UN, the Republican and Democratic Party, generally speaking, and get busy finding out what's really true. Isn't that what the Anxiety Center is mostly about?
Well, that's a pretty good description. You know, I gave it the name National Anxiety Center back in 1990 when I started it because I was mainly focused on all the deluge of lies coming out of the environmental movement.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, of course, we've broadened our horizon. There's a lot more to worry about. So now we look at the situations in the Middle East. We look at the United Nations. We look at the immigration issues affecting our country, and so I'm having a lot more fun simply because we are, in fact, broadening our look at the world, and it's apparently a rather dangerous place, given all the tensions in the Middle East as we speak. And
apparently, but you know, frankly, I think a lot of that tension is being driven to home by the media and others in charge because they'd love to see us give up some of the liberties that we've fought and died and bled for over the years, so that there can be a further movement towards this what I call a global pagan sociological or socialism.
Well,
what do you think about that?
Loss of liberties is always a concern. I think the primary instrument that we have to worry about right now is this effort to turn our automobile licenses into a kind of national ID card.
Mm-hmm. The driver's license, you mean?
Yeah, the driver's license. This is a very bad idea. Of course, over the years, people have come forth with the notions of national ID cards, what have you. And I mean, that's straight out of Nazi Germany and every totalitarian government that ever lived.
I need to see
your
papers.
We have to fight that.
Right.
But on the horizon right now is a real effort to turn driver's licenses into national IDs by just linking up all the information to some federal data bank. And the fact is that there's enough stuff floating out there about us as it is.
Uh-huh.
In terms of all the records that sit in some data bank somewhere.
Well, I don't remember whether it was you that I mentioned this to or whether it was Tom DeWeese, who, by the way, I'm having on tomorrow on the 3 o'clock program. Looking forward to that. I know you and Tom work together at the American Policy Center in some respects. And I was going to say that I have talked to a friend of mine who is an officer of the law in a nearby city, and he was telling me that it's no problem for some forces nowadays to link up to that so-called national database that you have by the information that's simply on the driver's license. Now, the particular city that he works in, they do not have that system installed in their cars, but he knows other people right in the same Santa Clara Valley over here that all they have to do is type in your number, and they are hooked into all kinds of things to get outstanding warrants, to find out what your social security number is, what your status is, all kinds of things. That's here right now, and it's scary to me.
I think you're absolutely right. I think we all go along pretty much trusting the government to behave itself, and that's always a bad idea because the government is about power.
Mm-hmm.
And the more power it can exert over your life, that's what people in government do. And of course, government, from the local to the state, county, state, and federal level, is probably the largest employer in the country.
Absolutely.
We know one thing for sure about the government. It owns 40% of all the land in the country.
You know, I bet you that's something that a lot of people don't understand. What do you mean they say the government owns this property? Well, it's just it's just America. We can go wherever we want, can't we? I mean, just try to get into Yellowstone without a pass or whatever.
In fact, 90% of Yellowstone is virtually off limits to everybody.
Except probably for a few of the elite who probably have wonderful camping facilities and stuff they're reserved for senators and congressmen and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. Is that right? I've heard that about other national parks.
Well, there has been an effort going on for several decades now, at least two decades, to make it increasingly difficult for anybody to have any access to the national forests that are under the control of the government. And the irony of this is that when the national forests were established, it was written into the mandate that they would be there for the recreational use of the public,
mm-hmm.
Of Americans, and also that they were to be, the timber industry was to have access to them, because you just don't let forests grow willy-nilly. They have to be managed.
Absolutely.
And, right now, about a day or two ago, we had a huge fire in New Jersey in a forested area. Now, most people don't think of New Jersey and think forest. We have several million acres of forest in New Jersey.
We're going to have to hold it right there because we're up against our first break, Alan. We're talking with Alan Karuba, who is the director, author, and all kinds of stuff like that there of the National Anxiety Center. And we'll be giving you his website URL, and that's pretty simple, anxietycenter.com. Be sure you spell anxiety correctly. I always have a problem with that, just like sovereignty. But nevertheless, you go there and you can find out all kinds of good stuff. But you could also go to www.radioliberty.com. Did you know that, ladies and gentlemen? If, for example, you'd want to hear yesterday's program that we did with Barrett Chose all over again, you can go there, click on listen, and you can go to a particular place that has archived all these programs. It's a wonderful spot, www.radioliberty.com. And there also you can see who's coming up on the show. You can order books. You can order tapes. You can see what specials are available. Why, it's almost as good as the Radio Liberty Resource Pack, which you can get free and postpaid to your house by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 800-544-8927. Tell the people there that you'd like to have a copy, and they'll charge it to me, a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Pack. We're going to be back with Alan Karuba for some more insightful insight in just a minute.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon from the Central California coast, I'm Dave Wilson, and we're talking about things with Alan Karuba. I said that you have insightful insight. Is that a double negative, or what is that exactly?
Well, it sounds nice. I'm not going to protest.
You're not going to fight that one anyway.
No, I have no insight at all, Dave. I haven't a clue.
Well, your website does, fortunately. So if you go there to www.anxietycenter.com, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to find out things about what's going on in the radical environmental movement. You're going to find out things about what's going on in terms of energy here in these United States, as well as climate, education, the United Nations, immigration, Islam, factoids, all humor. Humor, really, yes. And a serious thing like
it's
that?
Humor.
How unbelievable. Anyway. Alan Karuba is our guest today, and let's just first of all, Alan, you and I talk a little bit about what went on in Israel early this morning and the response that was put out across the news this afternoon. Now, you know that 16 people were killed in a another one of these bombings, these homicide bombers that drove up next to a bus near Megiddo, and the thing went off. All the people were killed. And Ari Fleischer gets together the press corps, and he says, President Bush deplores all this, and you guys should not do that, but we're committed to peace. Is that a recording or what?
Yeah, it's a broken record. And, of course, George Tenet, the head of the CIA, is over there, met with Arafat, and reportedly told him that he's about a hair's breadth away from being declared a terrorist organization by the United States of America.
No kidding.
that's what the insiders tell me. The United States has been playing a very strange game, but then again, we've got to deal with a lot of people around the world, a lot of nations around the world, who, frankly, we don't like. And who don't like us. I always love the it's an oxymoron and it's absolutely false, our Arab allies. We have no Arab allies.
No, we certainly don't.
Let's get rid of that notion.
But really, you've come at close to making dollar signs appear in my mind, because don't we need the Arabs? We don't have any oil here in the United States, and God forbid if we were to drill for it.
The problem is Americans are astonishingly underinformed by their own great media. I'll give an example. The second largest exporter of oil in the world is Russia.
Mm-hmm.
We buy a lot of oil from Russia. We buy a lot of oil from Venezuela, North Sea oil. That said, we still are extremely dependent on Saudi oil, because why? Well, for one thing, we won't drill in Alaska where there are about 16 billion barrels of oil in reserve.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid we should, use up something like two football fields worth of Alaska in order to drill for our own oil.
When I was growing up as a kid in Southern California around Glendale and all, I used to travel to Bakersfield on occasion, and seems to me that there's a bunch of oil wells down there right in the middle of Los Angeles.
Well, the interesting thing about oil, and we're constantly being told the world is running out of oil, there won't be any oil left, and this is absolute bunkum. Among the top geologists in the world, there is a growing theory that oil is not a fossil fuel. It isn't entirely dependent on dead dinosaurs, that in fact the Earth is manufacturing oil all the time and at deeper levels.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they believe this, to make it simple, is that a lot of old oil wells in the Gulf of Mexico, for example, have suddenly become active again. And it's a different grade of oil. I mean, so that these old oil wells that were tapped out, quote-unquote, are now pumping oil.
And it's certainly refinable oil.
And it's refinable oil. The only problem we have with oil in the United States is we can't get at our own oil in Alaska. We can't get at the enormous reserves in the Gulf of Mexico. There are restrictions off of California, off of Florida. You'd see the price of oil and the availability of oil be transformed considerably if we would just do this. And
mm-hmm.
for reasons that are beyond my understanding, there are an awful lot of people in Congress that will not permit it.
But you say you don't understand that, but I suspect that you do understand that in some respects, don't you? I mean, isn't there a desire?
In Congress who are essentially they're left wing. They call themselves progressives and the
right.
Progressive caucus, and these people essentially they're communists. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Well, you can't say that anymore because communism is dead, Alan.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I forgot. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
There is no communism.
It's called global pantheistic socialism now.
Oh, good.
GPS, you can remember it that way.
Whatever it is, it's alive and well in the world, and you can look around. You know, you just look at Europe. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall socialism.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you've got the European Union, which is, you know, a tiny little Soviet republic all by itself. It's astonishing. It always amazes me that we know communism doesn't work. Socialism doesn't work. I mean, it is a classic economic plan for failure. And
what?
Yet, it remains embraced. In nations all over the world.
But those people who are embracing it think they're going to be on the good side of whomsoever becomes in charge, and everybody else is just going to be, you know, kind of put down to be like a serf of old, and they're going to somehow live in the castles and live in the high rises and have their cars and everything. And we've just got to get this population skewed around to where 98% of the people are poor, and we 2% are the ones who can rule and will be benevolent.
This is you know, indigenous to being a human being, is we all want to rule. We want to
right.
be able to tell everybody else how to live their lives while we go about living our own. This, of course, takes us right to the East River and the headquarters of the United Nations. And the UN has been, since its initiation, on a path toward global government. Now, you tell a lot of people that, and they say, oh, no, they are doing good. They're helping the refugees and feeding the poor, and they're trying to keep war from, you know, being the scourge of mankind. And I'm sitting there listening to these people, and I said, you haven't a clue. You
mm-hmm.
just don't know what the UN is up to.
I hope that people who listen to this radio program have clues, and I suspect they do because of the numbers of people who are joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, for example, and the number of books that are being published and the popularity of Dr. Montes' talk show. He's doing 5 hours a day typically now with this subject, and there is a groundswell, I know, of people who are beginning to say, you know, the UN, who needs them? Let's get out of it. Let's try to do something about it in the very least, because they are beginning now to not only interfere with our lives, but they're claiming sovereignty over and above the Constitution in terms of the International
absolutely.
Criminal Court and everything else. What's going on there?
Well, the United Nations, if I can get a plug in here, I have on the website of the Anxiety Center, we have a what I call pocket guides. These are jam-packed brief guides, information to all kinds of topics, and one of the topics is called the United Nations versus the United States, and the subtitle is the UN's plan to control planet Earth, which I know sounds weird, but I'll give you a quick run through some of the things that the United Nations is trying to do.
Okay.
Right now, it wants to be a global government with power to tax all financial transactions and control the tax policies of all the nations. It wants to exercise power over land use throughout the world. It has all kinds of schemes, biosphere reserves and heritage reserves. It's astonishing. It's mind-boggling how vast it is. They want to restrict gun ownership worldwide. They want to maintain their own military. They have established their own international criminal court, which you alluded to, which would override the protections of the U.S. Constitution for any citizen of the country. They want every citizen of the world to carry a national or international ID card. I mean, I just go on and on and on. It's madness. And it's all the result of endless conferences and protocols and conventions. They've had just in the 1990s, the United Nations have had conferences on children, the environment, human rights, global government, world trade, world population, social development, sustainable development, women, human habitat. It just goes on and on. And, you know, and what they're doing is laying a basis for, quote, international law, which is just a matrix of laws to ensnare every nation, not just the United States, but every nation. And it's awful stuff. It's just totalitarian Nazi.
And they waste money unbelievably. Oh. You talk about a bureaucracy, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that is certainly one of the biggest ones on this planet Earth right now. And the more that we contribute by just not doing anything about it, the bigger they get, the more money they spend, and the Lord only knows where they spend it.
It's so corrupt, unbelievable.
We're talking with Alan Kariba this afternoon on Wednesday's edition of Radio Liberty. I'm Dave Wilson. Dr. Stan is going to be away for a couple of more days. Tomorrow I've got Michael Kaufman, and Friday Richmond Odom. We're going to be talking about the same subject that we're talking about right now, frankly, with those gentlemen's viewpoint about are we really in trouble or not. I don't think we're in trouble, because I think that once people have a good understanding of what's going on, then people will begin to act. This nation is known for grassroots movements, and there are many grassroots movements going on all across this country that where people are found to say, no, enough. They've finally had enough, and they're beginning to stand up to Big Brother, and that's about time. Hopefully, some of those people have been reading and understanding their Constitution, beginning to have a feel for those men and women who've so bravely given their lives and shed their blood and the very least given their time to defend the notion that our founding fathers were right when they said limits need to be put on big government. And certainly big government in the form of the United Nations is absolutely unacceptable here in these United States.
Well, it's unacceptable in the form of the government we have.
Absolutely. And, you know,
the founding fathers never intended to have a large, centralized federal government. If you look at the Constitution, you can figure that out for yourself.
I believe that's true. And as we come back from this break, we're going to be talking more with Alan Kariba. We're going to be opening the boards up to your calls at 1-800-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'll be talking to you in just a minute. Don't go away.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago. And it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
It's a beautiful day out, and it strikes me that it's a shame that we have to talk about subjects that are so gloomy in some sense of the word, but, you know, it's really, really important that we do get the word out, and that's exactly what Dr. Stan and his staff up here, those people who volunteer their time to get all the mailings out, wrap up the packages, and get the books in the mail to you, that's what we're all about here. We want you to be educated. We want you to be edified. Likewise, our guest today, Alan Karuba, has the same heart to get the information out, because I find, frankly, Alan, that a lot of our community are, and I'm sorry to say this, they're fat, dumb, and happy, and they have their remote, they have their six-pack. Now we're going into reruns, heaven forbid, but nevertheless...
they might have to read a book.
Oh, my word. What do you think about that notion, that people have just not seen enough yet to be stirred up?
I totally agree. I think I'm encouraged in the respect that, obviously, I'm a conservative. I operate a website that is a joy to conservatives. My work is... excerpted on all kinds of websites, mostly conservative, including, we have a piece up right now, a commentary up on CNSnews.com called Saving Fat People from Themselves, which is all about a UN plan to take over food production and manufacturing and distribution. But I think people, I wouldn't call them fat and dumb. I would say that people are busy. We all have very busy lives.
Exactly.
And the ones that aren't busy are easily distracted by all the celebrity hype that fills the media, all the talk about the new movie that's going to open up this weekend. There are, you know, life is filled with distractions, and, you know, we're thinking about, you know, what college we're going to go to, or we just graduated and we're thinking about what job we're going to get, or getting married, or worried about the kids, or just a lot of things to keep us distracted. And the forces of evil, to put it quite simply, I'm beginning to sound like George Bush now, but the forces of evil count on that. They count on the fact that the vast bulk of the people are so busy with their own lives that they can slip all this stuff by them.
The good people of this world,
how Congress operates.
Yeah, the good people of this world don't seem to be impassioned somehow as the dark side, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but let's talk to Fred, who's calling in. Hi, Fred, where are you calling from?
Calling from Los Salinas.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to ask your guest if he could explain how these NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, have been able to acquire so much power, you know, like the Pew Oceans Commission and the Ted Turner Center for Biological Diversity.
There's a book. You could have an encyclopedia with all these NGOs, these non-governmental organizations, because the environmentalists, for example, set them up like one a week. They've got some new little group that, you know, the Appalachian Save the Forest. You know, it just goes on and on because it's a device that they use. You get a lot of them. The United Nations has a policy and a procedure to recognize them. Their people then become part of the UN process by which conferences are put together and agendas are set. And that's how they acquire power. And of course, they acquire power because a lot of people think that it's all about saving the panda and the koala bear, and have no idea the true agenda of these organizations.
NGOs are typically, and I don't want to throw them all in one bucket either, and Fred, maybe you could comment on this from your understanding of it. They seem to be all left-leaning, socialistic in their ideals. I've heard of very, very few NGOs that, for example, would like to promote education in terms of birth control and give abstinence as a solution to some of the problems of this world, or things like that.
I've looked and looked and I have yet to be able to find a sane NGO at all. You know, I see Earth Island Institute, and I see the Pew Oceans Commissions, and I see the Turner Environmental Groups. And, mm-hmm. You know, when he gave that $1 billion to the
right.
United Nations, and God, I see hundreds of them, and I don't see any of them other than very far left, from socialist to pure
communist. You're absolutely right. I got a book for you.
Yes?
Called Trashing the Economy by Ron Arnold. And it's like an encyclopedia of these NGOs. And it will give you chapter and verse of who they are and how much money they get from the various foundations. That's another part. You talked about how do they acquire power. Well, they get money. And they get money from some of the biggest corporations in the country. Ironically, corporations that were founded by capitalists. And these corporations are now literally taking
one of our largest NGOs come out of the Packard Institute, which is
right.
Comes from David
Hewlett
Packard.
Has a mm-hmm. foundation. Packard has a foundation. Ford, Rockefeller, Pew is a long list of them.
What was this man's name again that wrote this book?
Ron Arnold.
Ron Arnold.
It's called Trashing the Economy, and it's a classic encyclopedia of information, jam-packed with information about all these weird leftist organizations.
Uh-huh.
Now, one of the reasons why you won't find an encyclopedia of conservative organizations is, number one, and I can tell you this personally, conservatives do not donate to conservative think tanks and foundations and other conservative groups. They just... We just sit here, you know, day in and day out and beg conservatives to support what we're doing. So there's not as much money on the conservative side of the ledger
uh-huh.
to fight the good fight.
That's true. Fred, I appreciate your calling
Thank
in
you.
And listening so faithfully. And it's men like Fred who are at this grassroots level that I was talking about earlier. Now, we've been talking about money. We want to go back to the Arab-U.S. oil triangle thing and the U.N.'s fingers
okay.
and all that stuff in a minute. But, you know, when you talk about money and conservatives and how they seem to be conservative with their money as well as with their thought patterns, there are wealthy conservatives. Where's it going? Is it all going into the church? If you're a Christian person, I mean?
I'm not getting my part of it.
Okay.
They're not giving it to me.
They're not giving it to you. They're not giving it to Radio Liberty either. I've got news for you.
Well, okay, we're you know, it's we're swimming. You know, we're swimming, and trying to keep our head above the waters. I say that half jokingly. We do, the National Anxiety Center does get donations,
mm-hmm.
and I'm always delighted and thrilled. And so I really shouldn't complain too much because the folks that come and visit and read the weekly column, what have you, donate to the center, and I'm always extremely grateful for that.
It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, don't get us wrong, that you are, if you are a Christian person, called to underwrite the cost of the church and the programs that you attend, that you're a member of. The pastor there needs to be relieved of the burden of trying to raise money all the time, people who take care of your children, those who educate you, those who, if you will, run that whole thing, you are commanded by God as a parishioner to take the stress of their everyday existence off of those people so that they can, in fact, do that. But also, I believe that you're commanded in the Bible to move out and be a force in the society. Alan, there's a huge thing going on in Christendom these days between people such as John MacArthur and, you know, Focus on the Family. The name just went out.
All right.
Dobson.
So, I'm terrible with names, but
James Dobson and the pastor of the church down there in Fort Lauderdale, D. James Kennedy. These men have all got different ideas as to what participatory level should be taken by Christian people And it's very, very important for them to reach out into the community to be salt and light. I believe you need to support things like the National Anxiety Center, and you need to support Radio Liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, this sermon is over. We'll take up a collection and you can go home. So with the oil, there is a connection, a line of dots that need to be connected between Israel, the so-called Palestinians, the Arabs, and the United States. And for some reason, and I'd like to know why you think...
It has nothing to do with oil.
What's it got to do with?
No, it has the Arab obsession with Israel it can actually be found in the Quran.
Of course.
In the very beginning days in history of Islam. Muhammad was mightily angry with the Jews of Medina, for example, who refused to convert. And we should bear in mind that Islam was spread as much by the sword as any other way, and primarily by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a classic story out of history where 600 members of the Jewish community of Medina were told to convert or die, and they chose death.
Mm-hmm.
And they were beheaded just like... Daniel Pearl of the Wall Street Journal was beheaded. This is the traditional Islamic punishment. And the women and the children were sold off into slavery. So the hatred for Jews is embedded deep in Islam, and it just is endemic to the Quran. In fact, the Quran at one point says, advises, do not take a Christian or a Jew for a friend, because they are friends only to one another, quote unquote. And I think the Christian community and Christians in general have not a clue that the enmity, the hatred for Jews that is obvious in the Arab world and the Islamic world is comparable to the hatred that will be turned on them.
Absolutely right. And as I told you, I think, in our conversation prior to the program this afternoon, the imam in the mosque at Medina, or perhaps it was Mecca, I'm not sure, one of the very high priests, nevertheless, has included now in his diatribes on their holy days and their sermons, if you will, not only that the mission of Islam is to eliminate Judaism and Christianity, but also the Hindus, the Buddhists, and the pagans. So it's all inclusive. And those of you who are pagans listening to this program and think that you have a free ride through Muslim United States in 50 years, better watch out, because that's not the history of the country. And I say that facetiously because I believe that will never happen. Whatever?
I said, listen up, you pagans.
Well, yeah, you know. It's important that you understand, and we're going to come back with Alan Karuba here after this final quarter-hour break here on the phone. We invite you to give us a call at 888-24-LIBERTY, that's 888-245-4237, wherever you may be able to hear this program in the continental United States. Otherwise, you can call us in area code 831 at 464-8295. We've got a few folks on the phone. And as we come back from the break, we'll be winding up with what Alan thinks we ought to be doing here. But right now, I want to encourage you to see whether or not you know what you should do. There's all kinds of things that Dr. Stan, of course, would recommend to you in terms of where you need to go, where you need to be to understand the situation and current events. One of the best things, of course, you can avail yourself of is the Sustainable Development Syllabus, which was compiled by Dr. Stan, and it's got all kinds of good stuff in there. And sustainable development is something that's actually a phrase that's used to justify this plan that those people have to destroy Western civilization. Now, in the Sustainable Development Syllabus, there are details of the plan, and they are covered and shown to be true by reproductions of United Nations publications. Fascinating. Fascinating stuff that you need to see. Once again, the Sustainable Development Syllabus, available from Radio Liberty, as you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Or you can write to us if you don't want to call. You can write to us at P.O. Box or 969. That's P.O. Box 969, Soquel, California. That's spelled S-O-Q-U-E-L. P.O. Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. So if you don't want to call, give us a little bit of note of encouragement, and we're going to be back in about 1 minute.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, hours fly by when you're having fun, as I'm having here with Alan, who's living in New Jersey these days. We've never met except in this 21st or whatever kind of century way, and I think we've become friends. Here's another friend of the program, I'm hoping. Jerry, how are you this afternoon?
Hello?
Hello, Jerry. Have you got a question or comment?
Well, I have a comment.
Okay.
You know, I heard you talking about, you know, the Muslims.
Uh-huh.
And you neglected to mention the Talmud, you know, what the Jews say about Christ and Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they call us goyims, and we're like animals. And that the Jews behind this UN, this is all part of the international Zionist conspiracy to create world government.
I'm going to have to interrupt you.
And you neglected what Jesus said about the Jews in 2:9 and 3:9 of Revelation.
You're on the wrong. You're on
Yeah, I'm sick and tired of you people pretending to be.
Well, that takes care
you know,
of Jerry.
I've reached a point where I'm a little tired of everything's wrong in the world because of the Jews, and let's blame the Jews. I mean, this guy has just got his foot in the same camp as the Muslims, who are over there blowing people to bits on buses.
Has an unfortunate understanding of the scriptures, perhaps.
Got to get away from this Jew baiting.
Yeah, let's go ahead and
it's
talk to hey, Richard, are you there?
Yes.
And where are you calling from?
Miami,
okay. What would you like
it's
to tell us?
My own stumbling grounds.
I wanted to touch on the topic of fat, dumb, and happy.
Okay.
I wanted to expand on this, and there's no question that's the biggest problem we have. And to add to that is, it's a problem. Everybody's busy, but also, I mean, you have these think tanks that dedicate all their time and how to manipulate society. I mean, and that's a big problem. I mean,
sure. I mean, you've got. You're right. You've got groups out there that live to scare the living daylights out of everybody and influence their opinion and influence public policy. That's why I started the National Anxiety Center in the first place.
To kind of diffuse some of these things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the most incredible things is the last couple of years. I mean, after the Monica Lewinsky thing, a few months after that, you know, the press was very cavalier. Oh, President Clinton gave missile guidance technology to the Chinese. Even if it's a lie, the fact that nobody cared, I mean, it demonstrates that, you know, we're in a state of coma.
Yeah. That's why 9/11 was such a wake-up call. What I'm afraid of is the further we get away from 9/11, the more it fades in our memory, our sense of outrage fades with it, and I keep telling people this, and I think they think I'm nuts, but we are at war. I mean, there are people and nations out there who are dedicated to destroying us.
But you know, Alan, it doesn't make the news much anymore because it's not something where they can go get a lot of good video with gore and explosions and tanks falling down and all this
look
other
kind of
stuff.
Look at the news tonight and look at what's happening in the streets of Israel. Israel is the front line of the United States. What happens there can happen and probably will happen here.
I have no doubt about it. Richard, I appreciate your comments. You have anything else?
That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate it very much.
Greetings to Miami from a graduate of the University of Miami.
Oh, you're willing to say that, huh? Okay. Well,
yeah. I are a college graduate.
Yes, indeed. So are I. Anyway, you know, Richard brings up a good point that we have, and you bring up a good point, too, as you were talking with him, that we have somehow settled back in after the events of September 11th last year, and we are victims of media control. If the sense of outrage, I believe, has gone. I mean, sure, we see ceremonies, and we hear firemen sing God Bless America, and we see all that, but there's no real sense of the mission that the people in the United States had after December 7th in 1941, for example, when fewer people were killed in Pearl Harbor than were killed in the Twin Towers and Pentagon.
But we haven't declared a war on a specific nation.
Do you think that's it?
We've declared war on terrorism, which mm-hmm. is everything and nothing.
Exactly.
You can't get your hands on it. You can't put a face on it. I mean, to some degree, I'm hyperventilating here because obviously the face of terrorism is Osama bin Laden, it's Yasser Arafat, it's all these other guys with names I can't even pronounce. It's the Ayatollah who's running Iran. We know who these people are. The fact of the matter is, I mean, I keep reading all these headlines of who's to blame and why weren't we aware and weren't we warned and we should have, you know. Dear friends, we were warned as far back as 1979 when the Iranians seized American diplomats and held them for 444 days before Ronald Reagan was sworn into office.
Mm-hmm.
We were warned when they blew up our embassies. We were warned in Somalia when they killed our soldiers. We were warned in Lebanon when they attacked our Marines with a suicide bomb. How many warnings does the United States require before it understands it is at war with the Islamic Jihad?
And is this thing covered with oil, though, realistically? Are we just scared? Are the radical environmentalists so in control that we cannot use our own domestic oil and we just need to kowtow to the people who are in the Arab countries?
It's more the environmentalists at their very core hate oil. They hate the use of energy. Energy is necessary for an advanced technological society as ours. The objective is to harm the United States economically in every way possible, and the best target and the main target and the one that they've had from the get-go has always been oil and petroleum.
Exactly, and our government is certainly afraid to move on anywhere about it. We've got Steve calling from Salinas. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good afternoon. I would just like your guest answer on a concept, if I could, please.
Okay, sure. Try anything once.
Great. It seems to me that, like the war on poverty and the war on drugs, the war on terror is really a war against the American people. And I'd like your comments on that, and I'll hang up.
Well, do you mean from outside, externally?
No, this government's war on terror.
The government.
All the action taken has really been action taken against the rights of the American people. Well, I mean, our liberty, our freedoms were not attacked. Our country was attacked. And it seems that with the Patriot legislation passed and all the other things going on, it's really a war against people like me and you.
Well, it is to some degree setting us up to be taken over, you know, by Big Brother. But, you know, I keep coming back to the thought, and perhaps I'm naive, and this is a good way to kind of finish out the hour. We got to remember that the people working in the FBI and the people working in the CIA and NSA and these other, they're Americans. They're just as American as the cops and the firemen. These are dedicated people, dedicated to the American ideal. And just as it's inconceivable that the military would turn against the civilians, civilian part of our nation and against the civilians in this country, I find it very difficult, and I say I, this is just my opinion, I find it very difficult that you'd find enough Americans within our governmental system that would go along with the subversion of it. I just think, yes, there's some rights being shoved aside to some degree, but it's ultimately to protect all our rights.
Hopefully, that's
right. We have to be able to find out who among the 2 to 3 million Arabs and Muslims living in this country are loyal and who are not. We've got to, you know, really get serious about defending this country because we are incredibly vulnerable.
Indeed, and religious fervor often transcends patriotism regardless of the country, and that's what I'm scared about.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I thank Steve for calling in. I thank everybody who calls in and listens, and I want to remind you that Alan Karuba puts together something called the Anxiety Center. It's anxietycenter.com, and one of the things that you can avail yourself there of is something called a pocket guide to immigration issues in America. And I would like to see hundreds of you go there and download that thing. It is for sale. It's a very reasonably priced thing. You can print it out on your computer printer, and you'll have literally a pocket guide to immigration issues. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk much about that today, Alan. But
well, we talked about an issue that's covered by our pocket guide to militant Islam, which you can also acquire.
Another excellent resource for people who are listening to this program. So anyway, Alan, give us a few words of encouragement in the next 40 seconds or so to get people going away from their radio into the dining room or wherever, with a sense of upbeat rather than, oh my.
I think the answer is that Americans are slow to anger, but once we get going, once we've identified the enemy, we are unified, and we will be victorious. And folks, don't listen to this stuff about, we have no war plans. We are going after Iraq. We are going to destabilize that entire region, and then we are going to impose freedom on those people, and they're going to love it.
Hopefully. I will only ask that they don't reveal their plans to the press first so they can be published in the Baghdad Daily Press.
Exactly.
As a former military guy, I have a little bit of a problem with stuff like that. I've seen it firsthand in Vietnam when the war was run by civilians in Washington, D.C. It was run because they wanted to have a body count. They wanted to have video. They wanted to have all this other kind of stuff. And yet my friends were dying. Mm. I was flying around, and it was very exciting. That's another story. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, we can come together. We need to come together as a nation. Alan Karuba is giving us direction in some regards. So you go there, you pray for him, and as I do. And Alan, thank you. God bless you.
My pleasure.
Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we've come to the end of another hour of Radio Liberty. I can't tell you how much I enjoy being here, knowing that I'm talking to hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people with this daily radio show. I want to encourage you to pray for the ministry, and that's what it is here at Radio Liberty. And give them a call, 800-544-8927, and consider seriously becoming a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Keep Dr. Stan in your prayers. Keep me in your prayers. Keep all of us who work up here getting the things going in your prayers. And don't forget to pray for your government, for those in the military, and for our nation. Till tomorrow, as the Lord tarries, Dave Wilson saying so long.